Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
What's up, Rubbernecks? This is Billy Milano from SOD and MOD, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
This is Chris.
And Maria from In This Moment, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
All right. Hey, this is Chris from Lamb of God, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hello, this is Tony Iommi, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
This is John Schaefer from Iced Earth, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Yes, this is Jim Brewer, and you're listening to Talking Metal!
Hi, this is Ian Hill from Judas Priest, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Vicio, you're rocking with Talking Metal!
Yo, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dave Windor from Monster Magnet, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Excellent.
Welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. My name is Mark Striegel. What you heard right there was a little Monster Magnet. Dave Windorf is our guest today and my special guest co-host and interviewer. Right, is my wife Emily Striegel. How are you?
Awesome.
Cool. Well, you had kind of a cool day last week. You got to go down and hang out all morning long. Interview took place in the morning, and you went down to Red Bank, New Jersey, which is, I made you leave the house like 2 hours early. And how long did it actually take you to get there?
It didn't take that long. I didn't hit any traffic, but that's always kind of a gamble. So I kind of went and filled up the car with gas and went over to Starbucks and was like texting Dave. Like, do you want something from Starbucks? He was cool though.
Cool. Well, we had him on the show once before, way back in 2007, which is unbelievable that it's 2017. I feel like I've been doing this podcast for forever, honestly. And it's crazy. I thought, you know, Dave had been on the podcast a few years back, and I went, and it was literally November 2007, so not quite 10 years, but close to it.
That's crazy. Yeah, it was so much fun going down to talk to him. I love Monster Magnet so much. And sometimes I get this like kind of pit in my stomach when I'm getting ready to meet someone who I admire a lot, because you don't know how it's going to go. You don't know how they're going to be. And I've met Dave a few times, but like I've never had like a sit down with him, you know. And I have to admit, like, he's amazing. I had so much fun. And I'm kind of sad. Like, we didn't really get a lot of our conversation on recorded, actually. We spent a ton of time before the interview talking just politics and just the state of the world and everything. And he's an extremely intelligent guy, which was awesome. So then we did the interview, and then after the interview we talked about music forever too. So I ended up being there for like 2.5 hours. It was awesome.
Right. And you know, intelligent people write intelligent songs. This is one of them. It's called Slut Machine by Monster Magnet. And I mean that in all seriousness. This song is friggin' phenomenal. Check this out, guys. Was Slut Machine by Monster Magnet. I knew I had to play a song off of one of my favorite Monster Magnet records, Monolithic. I almost went with the title track, which is just a great song, but I had to go with that. That's the song that opens the record. We're going to keep the Monster Magnet music going in just a bit, and we're also going to get into Emily's interview with Dave Wendorf. But real quick, we're opening the Snapchat, the Talking Metal Snapchat. You're going to run it. Maybe occasionally I'll jump on there, but you're going to run it. So let's give out the address. It's, or the username or whatever you call it. It's Talking Metal For You. Now that's the word talking with a capital T, the word metal with a capital M, the number 4 and a capital U, right?
That's right. And I'll apologize right off the bat. I don't know anything about Snapchat. Yeah. I know nothing. I don't have like a personal account. So someone the other night immediately like jumped, because I tweeted about it. Someone jumped on it right away and was like, "Hey, Emily and Mark." I didn't even know how to respond to them. So there might be a little bit of a learning curve, but I'll get there.
Yeah, right on. And just check it out, guys, if you're on Snapchat. And again, there is a learning curve, but we'll definitely get there. John is currently out on the road with Ace, big Ace news, Gene Simmons. As he promised on Talking Metal, Emily got this interview with Ace where he revealed only to Emily that Gene had texted him. This was back in December. And Gene said, I would like to come see you play live. And Ace reported that for the first time, thanks to John for bringing Ace onto Talking Metal. And thanks for Emily for getting the interview on the red carpet at the Revolver award show. And that happened, guys. I kind of figured that would never happen. That was just Gene saying that, but it happened. So that's awesome. Yeah. John actually took a picture, which he took a bunch of pictures, which he sent me. And if you blow it up, I'm going to post it on the in the show notes today. You can see John taking the picture of Ace and Gene and a couple other guys. I can't remember, John Five and Chris Wise, I believe the bass player, may be in the shot too. But if you blow up the shot real big, you can see John taking the picture in the mirror. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. What's going on?
Well, no, I was just going to say, you know, I was like seeing Eddie Trunk tweeted about it, you know, and said, you know, I'm aware of the appearance at the Ace Frehley show, knew it was happening last week. And I felt like replying to Eddie saying, I actually knew about it last month.
Yeah. Back in December. Yeah. And a lot of people knew about that because it was like all over Blabbermouth and stuff. But anyways, I don't want to go on too long here. I do want to talk a little bit more about the website, talkingmetal.com, but we're going to do that after Emily's interview, which took place last Friday. I'm trying to think of what the date is. What was the date last Friday? February 2nd? I don't know. In Red Bank, New Jersey. And let's get into some classic Monster Magnet right now. This is Twin Earth, followed by Emily and Dave Wendorf in Dave's Kitchen, right? Yeah, okay, Dave's Kitchen. This is just the album that got me into Monster Magnet, Super Judge. Amazing stuff going way back to 1993. This is Twin Earth, followed by an interview with Dave Wendorf. We'll be right back.
All right. We're going to get this started. This is Emily Striegel here with the Talking Metal Podcast. I'm sitting here with my new favorite person, Dave Windorf. I think we just had a full interview already, but we weren't recording.
We did. Hey, man, times are hot. It's a hot time living in the world.
It is a hot time. We just had a great conversation about life that there's a lot going on right now. But right now, the reason I have Dave here today, I'm sitting here with him, is to talk about what's going on with Monster Magnet, one of my favorite bands. Love, love, love Monster Magnet. And I saw you play at Rock Carnival this past fall, and you guys totally killed it. And I got the chance to talk to you after the show, and I think that was one of your first shows in a while, was it? And how did it feel?
Yeah, it was like a first show in 8 months, I think. Yeah, the last thing we did was a tour of Europe. So it was really good to get back, man.
It was raining.
Yeah, it's just a total trip. Like, you're down there. I'm down there, like, in the bowels of New Jersey, and it's not really raining. It's, like, misting. It's like, where am I?
You look so badass. I was in the photo pit for, like, the first part of the set. And literally, I remember looking at your arms, and you had, like, goosebumps. I don't know if the goosebumps were because you were cold or because you were just like, this is, like, the coolest thing ever.
It was pure rock excitement caused the goosebumps. And that was cold.
Okay. So since then, you've gone back into the studio and you've been writing and working on a new album, which will be your first release since, I think, first release of new material since 2013.
More or less, yeah. I mean, I had some new stuff on these Reimagine records, but this will be a first, like, full, like, 12 songs, new songs altogether.
Cool. And so how far along are you in the process right now of writing, recording? What's going on?
Almost done. I mean, I've got the way I write is different than a lot of people. I write the music here in my kitchen and lay it all out, arrange everything, and I'll just spot in vocals and don't really write the lyrics till I've recorded everything. So I just sat here in the kitchen, wrote the songs, then brought it to the band, worked it out with those guys. And then went in the studio, like a good rock man should. Did drums, bass, guitars, and almost done. All we're waiting for now is for that idiot singer to complete the lyrics and sing them. And maybe put a couple leads on, and then it'll be ready to go. So at this point, I'll be in mixing in March.
Mixing in March. Very cool. And are you recording locally?
Yeah, I do it in Long Branch, is where I did the drums and bass, at a place called Surefire in Long Branch. It's a really, really great place. Total old school studio. You'd think you were like 1972 in there. Wood, big room, you know, big glass, like really, really hot. And then once all that done, I take it out and go to a smaller place, Studio 13 in Red Bank, which is Phil Cavano's studio, guitar player and in Monster Man and my co-producer. And that we start doing leads and vocals and all that kind of stuff.
Very cool. So the two of you are producing it. And any plans to tour once it's out?
Yep, we're going. We'll be on tour before it's out. So we're doing festivals in Europe starting in May. We're doing the Mighty Hell Fest in France, which is amazing. Yeah, you're going?
No, I want to go. This is on my bucket list. You know, I've never done any of the European metal festivals ever.
Well, you haven't lived. It's exactly what you want. It's exactly what you want.
Hellfest.
Yeah, we're doing Hellfest. We're doing the Download Festival in Madrid. Big bands, all this stuff. I think, you know, it's like every rock band in the world is there. And then a bunch of other shows, TBA, for a month. So May 25th to about June 26th. So it's a month of touring in Europe, festivals and headline shows. And the record will be out in June. Then we come back here and probably get it together and then go out on tour in America in early fall. And then back to Europe again, probably Australia and wherever they'll pay me.
Australia. So do you guys have a big fan base in Australia, or do you just like to go and see the pretty things down there?
Yeah, Australia is awesome. We've been playing there since the very beginning. The world's like rocking, man. The world loves rock. way more than the States does, which is really bizarre.
You know? I know.
The country that created rock and roll is now like one of the dodgiest places to play.
Yeah. Like Nickelback is selling records for some
reason. You know, it's like, what's going wrong? What the hell? But yeah, so we'll go and we just go wherever, you know, wherever they like us.
So the rock, I always feel like South America is like a place where the rock is like, they're crazy rock fans there. Do you ever, have you toured there much? Are you thinking of going there?
I'm still waiting to go. I want to go. Yeah. I think the thing with South America is that there's a circuit of festivals that you go.
Okay.
And that's where the action is. I don't think there's like individual places. There maybe a few little clubs and stuff, but it's all about these big festivals. And I think there's a long line.
Yeah.
And there's kind of like a who's cool enough to get on this festival. So we need a hero. We need like somebody like Guns N' Roses to say, hey, you know, Monster Man should play.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of that. So.
Well, I can work on that. I'll get on that right now. So I read that the new album is less in the kind of psychedelic stoner rock vein and more kind of straight ahead rock, like Detroit early 70s, kind of like MC5, Iggy Pop. Is this true? Tell me about where this came from.
Yeah, it's full on. It's full on rock. Shorter songs. It's fight music. You know, it's like still psych in a kind of garage rock kind of way and sound. You'll hear echoes and stuff like that, but it's less long form. Like the last bunch of records, I went on a psychedelic tinge, as is my right to do. But after I do a couple of records that are completely psychedelic, it just overtakes me to just rock.
Yeah.
You know, just go out there and pummel it. So it's fast tempo and a lot of Detroit style. That's the best way I can describe it, because Detroit had this spirit to it, and even a sound, kind of drony strings, but still rocking. It's what I needed to do in order to live continually in the 21st century, which is completely out of its mind. So I needed something, you know, I take the psychedelic stuff and get all cerebral and kind of ruminate on what's going on in the world, in my head and in my music. And then when I get so disgusted with the way the world is, then I strike back with my music for me in this way. So it makes sense.
I need some of that right now. I need some angry. No, I just need some good, like, let's let loose rock and roll. I need that in my life right now.
I think everybody does, man.
And, you know, bringing up, like, the Iggy Pop thing and, like, the Detroit early stuff story for you, I actually met you many years ago outside of a Queens of the Stone Age concert in New York City. And, you know, Iggy's doing or did this thing with Josh.
Yeah.
Do you know the dudes from Queens of the Stone Age? Are you? Because I remember seeing you at that show and thinking, I wonder if he's friends. He's got to be friends with them because you guys got the same vibe going on.
I know Josh off and on for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're on the same record label for a while.
Oh, okay.
But not too well. I mean, he's like California dude and all that stuff. But I'll run into him every once in a while. Is he cool?
Yeah. I remember that was like the first time. Oh, I also saw you guys open. I saw Monster Man. First time I saw you live was opening for The Cult in 2001. And my one request on this tour is that you use the fans again. Do you always use the fans? Because do you know?
I use the fans because it's usually really hot. So, I mean, that's what the fans are for.
No, the fans are for the cool factor. If any of our listeners that haven't seen Monster Magnet before, Dave is an amazing performer and he had these fans going up and blowing his hair. And you just like, it was just like this. At that moment, I was like, Dave is a rock god. So more fans.
All right. Well, you know, the fans is just because it's really hot, man. I got to have it. And then somebody told me that, wow, your hair was like really, it was like rock was standing straight up.
It is awesome. It looks cool and it keeps you cool.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, maybe I should just get the giant hair extensions. Just really do it.
Do it up. No, you got great hair, dude. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about... I want to talk a little bit about the two releases you've had since Last Patrol, which was your last full album of like a new material, right? So the re-releases, the reworkings of previous albums, why did you do this? What were they? You did one year, and then next year you had another one.
Yeah, I did them. I did them in a row, so they're actually done at the same time. They were just released. They're different. Okay. I just got a bug up my ass to get nutty in the studio, and I didn't really feel like writing anything new. It happens.
Yeah.
And I did The Last Patrol, and it was a workout. You know, it was a lot of stuff, and I just wanted to go on the road and tour, and that's what I did. Went out and toured Last Patrol, went all over the world, came back, and you know, these days, if you don't have a new record out, it's hard to tour.
Yeah.
Like something. And I was like, well, I don't feel like writing a new record. What, I have to write a record? Like anytime anybody tells me, this is crazy. You're supposed to just write them when you feel them. But I wanted to, there was something in my head that wanted to mess with existing stuff that I either wasn't happy with or wasn't finished with yet. Yeah. Last Patrol was such a massive thing to me that it really should have been a double album, mm-hmm. you know? So I made it a double album. Yeah, I messed with parts of it, invented new songs, rearranged different stuff, did a bunch of 60s instruments, mixed it differently. It was a whole trip, a lot of work yeah. for something that's quote unquote already written, but a lot of it wasn't. It turned into new stuff. So it just became like a mad scientist in the studio, experimenting with audio, how to get a different emotion out of a pre-existing song that wasn't there before, a vibe out of it.
Yeah.
And I was into it. I was like, wow, this is great. I'm just messing around, you know? And while I was doing that, this wasn't for a release. This is just for me. Yeah. Just to keep busy because I had that idea. And then I just called up the record company and said, you guys want to put this? It sounds pretty cool. You want to put it out? And they're like, no, you know? And then I played it for them. They're like, oh yeah. Okay. So at that point, when I was doing this Last Patrol thing, I decided to go and do the same thing to Mastermind. Which was the record before Last Patrol. And I was feeling weird and squirrely. And I wanted the music to reflect the squirreliness in my brain, in my itching, swelling brain. And just went off. And the next thing you know, it's like 2 years. I've got these two releases. And it's like,
awesome.
Okay. And I toured. So and then
and you toured fun. Europe.
I toured Europe, yeah.
I mean, where the real rock fans are.
I hate to say it, man. Believe me. I hate to say it, but there's more rock in Europe. I mean, that's where the people really, really dig it. I mean, they're like they're the kind of people that you wish you had as friends when you were a kid. Like they're all into it, you know?
And they have we're gonna
albums and
we're gonna show you this time around. America is gonna show you how much we love Monster Magnet. We are going to show you on this tour. In the fall, we will be out there in numbers.
Well, I'll be there. I mean, I never give up. I mean, it's of course, I love my country. I salute it.
I hear what you're saying, though. I totally get that. And we hear that from a lot of musicians, a lot of bands we interview.
It's a culture thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the appreciation of all culture in Europe is huge. There's almost a studious nature to it. Like, what is this? And they love it. Things don't get old as fast in Europe in people's minds. Like, they tend to make up their mind by seeing live music and then will stick with things longer. America tends to be more advertising driven, meaning like what's in my face. I'm going to grab for what's being sold to me. And then it's on to the next thing.
Yeah. No, we all Americans, we all have ADHD. We all have short attention spans. That's just,
it doesn't really work for creative projects, you know, creative projects and cool stuff. Cool stuff always usually takes a lot longer to make and longer to fully be appreciated.
Right.
So if you don't give yourself the time to appreciate something, then it's just going to go right by. And that's pretty much going on in America anyway. Things rush in and rush by. And it seems to be here. It's more about having everything than it actually is about actually paying attention to everything.
Yeah.
Have it. Do I have it? I got it. Okay, next.
Yeah. What's next? Come on. I totally hear you there. So I was checking out some of your I'm a child of the 80s, so I like to watch music videos. And so a lot of nights I will just lay in bed and I'll pick a band and like watch every one of their videos. Now that I have like an internet ready TV, I'll just go on YouTube and be like, the other night I did like Rat. Rad had some great videos. Yeah. So I did Monster Magnet recently, and I found a video that came out a couple years ago, which was the Duke. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Duke. Yeah.
And so, okay, here's the thing. So I know that you're a comic book fan. Like, you're a fan of comic books. That had a super comic book vibe. Was that, was this video your idea? Who did it? And it was very much kind of ahead of its time, because I noticed a lot of bands have been doing that kind of thing recently. That's become very popular, like 2015, 16.
Yeah, the Duke. There was this guy, Phil Mucci, a director, who I saw some of his stuff he did for, I forget who it was, but a couple of bands. And it was just insane. It was like a living comic book.
Yes.
I mean, more than, even more than some of this great CGI that they're using in comic book movies. This actually felt like a comic book.
Yeah.
It wasn't literal translation of like, oh, here's a comic book hero if he was real. This was like intentionally surreal.
Yeah.
Which is more the mood.
And a lot of bands, I feel like you guys must be trendsetters, because that I wasn't seeing a lot of that. That came out in what, 2014?
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay, so like in the past couple of years, Metallica has done this. Queens of the Stone Age has done this.
The same guy. I think
they work with the same guy?
Yeah, I know Metallica worked with Mucci.
There you go. See, I told you. I was like, holy moly. There you go again. Monster Magnet, ahead of their time by like 3 years.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, his stuff, man.
But you found him somehow.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I wasn't the first to find him, and I won't be the last, but
yeah.
I just was cool. Like, I was like, that guy has to do a Monster Magnet video. And
great.
We went over, you know, the whole story and stuff. I went over with him for a month. I just gave him my vision on the Duke, about what it was about and stuff. And he took it from there. I mean, he's really, really good.
Yeah. Good stuff. And my other favorite video, I mean, of course, the Power Trip stuff. I love that. Everyone's seen those videos. Did you know that Space Lord has like over 8 million views on YouTube?
I know. It's amazing.
I mean, I was like, wow, that's pretty good. So, what video was I watching that I loved? Oh, Heads Explode.
Heads Explode.
Oh, my God. So this video, everyone needs to go watch it right now, because first of all, I'm sitting here in Dave's kitchen, and I'm going to go raid his closet and see if I can find any of the clothes he wore in this video.
I kept all the clothes.
No, they're my clothes now.
I they're all in my attic.
I'm going before I leave.
You know how they looked at me like I was some sort of hillbilly. I was like, I can have these clothes, right? And they're like, I guess. I was like, well, I paid for them. They're not used to, you know, not used to the artist being. I was like some white trash hillbilly, like, I'm taking these clothes home because they were so cool. But a lot of them I gave out to my daughter when she was young.
Oh, my God.
Like all the girly outfits and stuff. She's like, I love this.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're talking latex. We're talking crazy, like, fur. These boots. Do you have the boots?
Some of the boots I do.
Oh, my God.
The boots I got away with, and some of them they took back, you know.
But not everyone is cool that they can pull off these outfits. So let's take a look at this. The other thing I liked is the fact that there was a lot of glass smashing happening, which I think was all probably fake. Or were you guys really smashing glass? That was crazy.
Yeah, it was real. It was this breakaway glass, like Hollywood glass, you know, that breaks away in chunks. It's like your dream come true. You get to smash glass and not get cut.
Yeah. Well, I miss videos. I want you guys to do another fun video like that. Let's go to Vegas and do another Space Lord video.
I would totally dig it. It's like the budgets, that's what happens. There's nobody to pay for the budget. When I went off them, that's when I was on a major label. And those guys would foot the bill for that kind of stuff. Or
no, it's dead. What are we going to do about the music industry?
I don't know. All you can try to do is make the coolest records possible and make people go, it's worth it to pay attention to a full album and a band's career rather than just a song and a band's passing. I mean, the main trouble with music now is it don't get no respect. It doesn't get any respect because it's so easy to get. So it doesn't seem special and seems available all the time. So there's a less of a like, oh my God, be like,
yeah.
It's like, hey, it's going to be there.
Yeah.
And the fact that you lease music now, people lease it and have access to it all, brings the attraction down for it being special,
like,
or
streaming.
Immediate, yeah, like streaming sites and stuff like that. You lease the music, pay $10, you have access to everything. Sounds like the coolest idea in the world,
yeah.
And it is, except for the fact that people love free stuff and they love cheap stuff, but they don't respect free stuff and cheap stuff. Yeah. There's no respect. Yeah. So there's not a lot of respect. So it there's a core of people who really love music and understand how bands operate. That'll never go away. It's just not a mass. Rock isn't a mass thing the way it was.
Yeah.
So it just means it's going to have to come from the music, man. People are going to have to like walk it like they talk it, whether they have money or not. I mean, if you see all these bands, they all have day jobs now.
Yeah.
You know, they can't live by the music. Eventually, the pretenders will go away, mm-hmm. and it'll be just left with a small core of like real true believers of rock.
Yeah.
And the way they do it, and they can get their message across with cheaper videos or whatever. And maybe someday there'll be enough interest in it again so we can get the kind of surge of high quality insanity. Yeah. Because there's nothing more fun that if rock gets popular and actually makes some money, and I hate to say it, it's all about money, but it fuels it.
It does.
When you start seeing the budgets on videos go up like that, and people start taking chances and expressing themselves in their videos and in their records and having a little confidence, it gets really entertaining.
It does.
You know, it's like, wah! Just like when you sit there and watch, you know, an old bunch of old videos together, and you're like, well, this is like strung all together. It becomes like a weird TV show.
It does.
It's worth it.
It does.
You know.
It's so fun. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but all I know is like the youth now believe that the music is free. Have they ever paid for music? They just kind of expect it to be there. And I don't know how we fix the industry to make it better, but you said, we just keep on making music. That's what I want you to do. Make music.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I can do. I mean, that's all I really care about anymore. Anyway, it's like, it's always been about the music. With me, music allowed me to be a different person, like reinvent myself. All the rest of the stuff came after, like videos or any kind of money or the whole rock star thing or major label and all that stuff. But it always came from the music. So if everything's taken away, you still have only the music. It's enough for now anyway.
Yeah.
It's enough for me. I was wondering, so like when you guys totally blew up, like Power Trip came out, did you ever think about leaving Jersey? Because I have this thing about people who like stay in Jersey. Like the coolest people I know stay. Like Bobby Blitz is still here. Like, you're here. Like, look, at, I mean, even Spring. I'm not a huge Springsteen fan. I know that's probably sacrilege to say. But I mean, some of those badass people have stayed in Jersey. Why didn't you go to L.A.? I'm glad you stayed.
I was too, you know, I just couldn't do it. I mean, I love to visit. But home is where the heart is, man. Yeah. My heart was right here. There was no reason for me to move somewhere because I was moving anyway all around. All I did was tour.
Yeah.
It just felt better here. It felt like home.
Yeah.
It felt like home. And I can crack on Jersey or with the best of them. But you can't really, I mean, if you feel it in your heart, like this is where I grew up. I mean, I'm in the house that I grew up in. I like my, you know, I love my family. My family was cool and I didn't see him enough anyway. So why should I move away?
Yeah. I love that. That's so cool.
Although, given the events of the politics in the last couple, I could see myself living in a castle in Germany somewhere.
Let's just go. We'll all go to Hellfest together and we'll just stay.
Yeah. Oh, Hellfest is beautiful.
Where is it? It's in France, right?
It's in France. Yeah. It's in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah, it takes a while to get there. Yeah. It's really out there in the middle of nowhere in this old French village, and it's set up over this farmland.
Yeah.
It's like endless farmland. It's probably one of the most well-run festivals I've ever seen.
That's awesome.
No advertising.
No. You don't see billboards or anything. It's all rock.
Yeah.
All rock. All rock all the time. Yeah. Well, we're going to, Talking Metal listeners, we're going to have a good year ahead. You know that? Because Monster Magnet is back. They are going to be putting out a new album and they're going to be touring and we're all going to be there to see you. And we thank you for coming to speak with us today. So cool to hang out with you, Dave.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure. I'm a soldier.
When your mind goes blank in the pouring rain and you can't get back on your feet again, and your girlfriend tells you the world is dead, and it just ain't working inside.
Right there, that was Gods and Punks. Gods and Punks from 2010, a little Monster Magnet. Thank you for going down to do that interview with Dave, and thanks to Dave, too.
So much fun. Thank you. You know, thanks to Dave, and I'm looking forward to going back, you know, prior to the album's release and talking to him again, and hopefully we'll get some good promotion for the album, and then they're going to be, you know, they're coming out and touring the U.S. for the first time in a long time. So everyone needs to come out in force because we've missed them so much.
Absolutely. And on that note, let's get into a little music, and then I'm going to come back and talk some more with you guys. By the way, it was episode 181 that Dave was on. It was the last time he was on Talking Metal. And again, it posted on November 26, 2007. So I can't believe how long I've been doing this stupid show and still loving it. But yeah, it's like a bad habit. Sometimes you just can't kick it, you know. But anyways, let's keep the music going. This is Black Sabbath with Zero the Hero, going back to 1983. One of the best Black Sabbath records with Ian Gillan on vocals. The band never really liked the mix that they got. They got on this album, but the album it's kind of a flat, might be the mastering that killed it. It's kind of a flat sound. And as we're recording this, wow, the New England Patriots just came from behind to, like, they were down, they were like 21 points behind. They came back to beat the Falcons. Pretty crazy. I wasn't expecting that. So anyways, yeah, we're recording this as the Super Bowl goes on. Yeah, and Zero the Hero, Black Sabbath, here we go.
Zero the Hero.
little Black Sabbath going back to 1983. Bill Ward on the drums. Geezer Butler on bass. Tony Iommi on guitar. Of course, Ian Gillan, the Deep Purple Screecher, on vocals. And that was another record that Bill recorded with them. He did the drums, but then he didn't really tour. Heaven and Hell with Dio, the same thing. You know, he went out, he did just a handful of dates on that Heaven and Hell tour, and then he was out of the band. They did do Mob Rules, of course, which had Vinnie Appice, and then there was a little break, and they came back with Born Again, which featured that song Zero the Hero. Bill back in the fold for the recording, but not for the touring. And I can't remember the guy's name. I wish John Astronomy were here right now, because for whatever reason, he always knows the guy who did that tour. I should know that, sorry. But anyways, the drummer I'm talking about. We're going to wrap things up, guys. The Talking Metal News website now has, or the Talking Metal website now has a news section. We are updating it daily with news, with videos. Emily may be doing some news, breaking news videos that go up there. I'm posting stuff. I think Victor is going to be helping out with the news section, possibly Mitch LaFon too. So I think we're going to have some great content up there. There's already been some videos I've put up and some cool stuff. When I say videos, I mean actually me hosting news segments. So please check that out in the news section on talkingmetal.com. We've revised the site. There's a lot of stuff happening there. It's just not a podcast anymore. It's many podcasts. It's news. It's look back, you know, on this day type of stuff happening. A lot of great stuff happening on talkingmetal.com. Just by visiting the site, you help us. By giving traffic to the site, you help us. But other ways you can help us, you know, watch the things we put on YouTube. Let the commercials play out before you skip them. Don't skip the ads when you watch a Talking Metal video on YouTube. That's a way you can support us. You can friend us on Facebook. You can do our Snapchat thing that we mentioned, Talking Metal for You. You can follow us on Twitter. You can leave a review on iTunes. You can give a PayPal donation. That PayPal tab is there on talkingmetal.com. Somebody recently pointed out to me, on the mobile, if you're looking at talkingmetal.com on your phone, you don't see the PayPal for whatever reason. It is there if you're looking at it on a laptop. But if you want to do the PayPal, it's just my email, which is striglmark@gmail.com, striglmark@gmail.com. The PayPal donations have picked up lately, so I really appreciate that, guys. Thank you very much. And the Amazon links, just before you go to Amazon to make your purchase, go over to talkingmetal.com, link through to Amazon, go about your purchases after that, and we get a little kickback on that. Cool. Thanks so much for your support. Thanks to Dave from Monster Magnet for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time on the Talking Metal podcast. This is Deny the Absolute by Pelican, going back to 2013. Love these guys. Don't know much about them. Every time I hear one of their songs, I love it. Just great instrumental hard rock, metal, grungy, sludgy stuff from Pelican. And even at times a hint of progressive in there, if you will. Pelican, great band. Again, this is called Deny the Absolute on Talking Metal. Talk to you next time. We'll be right back.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.